Amen. Amen. If you're at home, you can be seated or you can stand where you're at. You can do what you want. You can go get some snacks, whatever. You can tell the kids to come in and listen. Thank you, worship duo. Awesome. Damu, I appreciate you. Man, you've just been flowing every week. Dude, you stepped up in the game when Brent was sick. I asked you to come, and you've been faithful ever since. I very much appreciate it. I really, really do. You've had a lot of people help accompany you to help lead and also lead with you, and I just appreciate that. Brent, it's so good to have you back as well. For many people out there that don't know, I was the youth pastor here, and it was almost 7 years ago. We're a few months short of that. 7 years ago, a few months short of that, if that's what I didn't say. But when I was the youth pastor, I remember Brent was going through a very, very hard time, and I was told, you know, I can't lead worship, and, you know, I want to preach, but I can't lead worship. And I was told that Brent, he's led a few times, he's going through a hard time, and he's like, you know what, Pastor Harris, I don't think I can do this. And I was joking, but I just kind of spoke, and I said, no, God just told me you need to do this, right? And it's kind of a joke, but it was true. And ever since then, Brent and I have been ministering together for almost 7 years, the entire time I've lived in Cedar Rapids, and it's so good to have you back. I appreciate you very much. Everyone who's helped in the meantime, awesome. Thank you for being servants. What we've realized is we have a deeper bench to lead worship than we realized. People step up to the game when you give them the bat, you know? So I appreciate that. You hand them a ball, they go with it. I appreciate that so much. Tech team, thank you again. And I think everybody, right, so far, am I not muted, am I? No? Come on, was I muted at all? None at all? Come on now, woo! I'm going to keep you this week. Next week, y'all can come back. And whoever's a volunteer, I'm going to double your pay. Whoever's not a volunteer, you did good. You did good. You earned your keep. Well done. Well done. Awesome. My name is Pastor Harris Holzapfel IV. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And it is my honor today to bring God's word to you. Thank you for joining us this morning for church. It might look a little different, but God is still with us. He has never left. He's never left. If you're watching on Facebook Live, it's so awesome to have you. Please go out and like our Facebook page. It would be super cool that you would go out and like that, because then you would always know when we go live. It'd give you a notification. And then for YouTube, this is our second week. A lot more people are on YouTube. I was told that YouTube is quicker, clearer, and it's easier to watch if you want to watch it on a TV, because if you have a smart TV, YouTube's already up there. Facebook might not be. So if you can go ahead, you can like this, or you can smash that subscribe button. We want you to do that. Man, the more people we have smashing that subscribe button, the more often that you will be able to see when we go live as well. It's going to be so awesome to have you. Now, can you tell that I have a 7-year-old son that likes YouTube, right? 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 I got to point down. Smash that subscribe button. That's what everybody does in their YouTube videos. It's funny. Anyway, but like for real, it'd be cool for you to do that. Well, can you believe next week is Mother's Day? 1 week from today, a whole bunch of people just went, oh, snap! I didn't buy nothing, right? Here's the good thing. And there's a bad thing and a good thing. I should have bought stock in Amazon like 2 months ago because, right? But here's the good thing. They're definitely still working, and they're working like crazy. Y'all can go out, order something. Make sure you appreciate the women in your life that are mothers. Next week, I can't even believe it's coming up so quickly. And we have a special treat for you next week. I hope that you come and watch live with us. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm very excited about it. I want to tell you a story. When Cynthia Manley realized she had 20 minutes left to live, she figured the best thing she could do with the time she had left was send a couple messages to her daughters. To her daughter, Elena. She was a student at Seattle University, and she texted, quote, "Stay strong, and no matter what happens, take care of your sis. Find a way to get to California and be together soon and be a family. I love you so much." End of the text. Then to her daughter, Alyssa, she wrote, quote, "No matter what happens, get your degree. Have a good life and be successful, and take care of your sister." End quote. What would you do if you had 20 minutes left to live? What would you say? What would you do? Where would you go? Well, it turned out that Cynthia Manley had much more than 20 minutes left to live. In fact, she and most of the state of Hawaii are still alive today. Maybe you read about this. In January of 2018, a state worker chose the wrong menu item for the state alert system. And he sent an alert to the entire island that said this, quote, "Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill." Say what? Maybe you know this story, and if you know this story, there's many photos of parents lifting manhole covers and putting their children down for shelter. For about a half an hour, many people in the state thought they were just about to die in a nuclear blast. Fortunately, it was a happy ending for just about everyone, except for Goofball, who pressed the wrong button. Not a good day for that guy. Wrong alert. But now as they look back, they actually consider that a gift for many of those people. In a moment's time, it caused everyone who could hear the message to think, what really matters in life? I wonder what I would have done at that time if I lived there in Hawaii back in 2018. First of all, I wouldn't be this pasty. That's the first thing. But what would I have done in 2018 if I was living and heard that alert? I'd like to think I'd get to the most crowded place and I would stand up on something and I would give my best, fastest, and last altar call sermon. Repent, repent, for the kingdom is near. The kingdom is here now. I would give this altar call sermon and then I'd run back as fast as I can and grab my family and just hold them. I'd like to think that's what I would do. The thought of 20 minutes left to live gives some real perspective on what's important and what we're doing here on earth. Job 14:5 says this, "You have decided," it's Job talking to the Lord, "you have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer." Wow. Ballistic missile threat inbound. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. That alert is not altogether unlike an alert that should guide how we live our lives every day. Whether it happens in 20 minutes or 20 years, we will one day stand before God when this life is done, and we're going to give an account for what we did here on earth. Jesus may return in a few hours, it may be a few weeks, and it may be a few centuries. But whether or not we are literally living in the last days right now, you can be certain of this. We are certainly living in our own last days. If your faith in Jesus is deeper than just professing it with your mouth, and you are someone who actually follows Jesus every day with your actions as well, the conversation on your eternal transformation day is already loosely scripted. Jesus himself said it's going to go something like this in Matthew 25, verse 23. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." It's only by faith in Jesus that we can go to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can go to the Father except through him. But there are three things that can affect you right now that you can carry on beyond this earth on that day. Number one is this: who you become in Christ. I hope you don't look like you looked 10 years ago. I hope it looks more like Jesus. And my wife says, I hope you don't look like Harris 10 years from now, right?
Amen.
Number two is this. Y'all can laugh. I got two people in here. I need some more of this. Y'all just quiet. I was worshiping. Now y'all got to help me out. Number two. The glory you bring to the name of Jesus. Number one, who you become in Christ. Number two, the glory that you bring to the name of Jesus. And number three, the impact you have on other people. The impact you have on other people. The Bible, the truth, teaches that God is eternal and human beings are eternal as well. But it also teaches us that our things that we possess, right? These are not eternal. God's glory endures forever. Everything we do to add to the glory, to that glory of God, endures forever as well. Because you last forever, everything you do to change, grow, and become more like Jesus will go on forever. That's awesome. Because the people around you are eternal, every time you touch someone's life, that impact will go on and on and on as well. Are you living like you only got 20 minutes to make an eternal impact? Are you living right now for the glory of God? Because if not, what would Jesus undo in your life so you could be? Right now is a perfect opportunity to think all about you. Wallow in your own fears and anxiety, frustration. And as my daughter sings, disappointment, right? But this life is not all about us. This month's theme is, what would Jesus undo? To start, I believe for all of us, and let me get in front of the line, Jesus would like to undo our selfishness. This morning, we're going to focus on the impact we have on other people. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 through 11. For we must all stand before Christ on judgment. We'll each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this. What we do with other people and for people does not get us into heaven. It is not by works that we can boast. But what we do for other people will go with us into heaven. What we do for eternity, it's not the key, but it does go in the suitcase. Everyone who believes in Jesus and follows him goes to heaven. I want to stop there real quick. You might say you believe in Jesus, but if your life doesn't show it, you don't believe in Jesus. It is not a prayer and live how you want. You obviously missed the gospel message. Jesus said, come and follow me. What does that mean? You drop everything. You think I planned to be a preacher for my life? I did not. But Jesus said, come and follow me. I'm just using me as an example because there's not a lot of selection in here right now. Okay? Following Jesus is more than just profession with your mouth. Profession with your life. Profess it with your life. Everyone who believes and follows Jesus goes to heaven. Everyone who goes to heaven will be rewarded according to what they have done with and for other people. I'm gonna do it. Once saved, always saved until you're not saved. Y'all just get your theology on that one, okay? And I know that's gonna mess some people up, but I just felt like that right now. Once saved, always saved until you're not saved. The only way you're saved is you follow Jesus. If you're not following Jesus, you're not saved. Can you backslide and ask for forgiveness? Absolutely, there's repentance of sins. That's why we have forgiveness. But if you're not repenting and asking for forgiveness and you're living on your own, you're not living for Jesus and you're not following Jesus. So when in turn, if you're not following Jesus and you don't love Jesus and you haven't given me your life, then his life that he gave for you doesn't matter to your life. Get right with God. Come on now. See ya. That's it. Amen. That was for free. I have a question. What are we supposed to do with other people? What are we supposed to do for other people? See, Paul showed us the first thing in 2 Corinthians, I just read, chapter 5, verse 11, and he said this: we work hard to persuade others. Now that word persuade, to me, I think of salesmen. And salesmen to me seem kind of slimy, right? Sometimes they get that vibe of just being slimy. It's not about selling Jesus. Jesus sells himself, right? He gave himself up. It's about professing. You need to persuade others. You know, if the product's good, people buy it. Don't try to lie to somebody. Try to sell something. Just for the mark, not all salesmen are slimy. I'm just saying. Like, yeah. We work hard to persuade others. See, that's a huge truth. Huge. Huge. Coming to church on a Sunday, sitting in a pew, don't get you to heaven, right? You've heard this before. Just because you sit in a garage doesn't make you a car. This is a huge truth that we work hard to persuade others because every person we lead to Jesus will spend eternity with Jesus. There really is no better use of our time and no better use of our lives than helping other people know Jesus. Now, I wish I could give you the perfect formula to persuade others, but there is not a perfect formula to persuade other people because all people are at different stages in their journey toward Jesus. Some people are ready to hear the good news, while other people are directly opposed to it. So, I want to remind you, be led by the Holy Spirit, not your human agenda. But I do have this. I have a place that everyone could start for working hard to persuade others. If you're taking notes, y'all want to take notes, get them out right now because you won't want to forget this. You won't want to forget today's sermon. It's going to be simple, but it's going to be transforming. First off, it's this. It's five easy words. Pastor Greg Gershell, you maybe have heard of him before. You maybe have a little Bible app on your phone that's for free. That's from his church. It's from his ministry. I'm thankful for it. I read it almost every day. I love it. But Pastor Greg Gershell uses these five words for his volunteers. But these five words actually reach out to everyone and anyone. These five words open the door to atheists. They open the door to Christians who have sort of drifted away or kind of forgot about their faith or hurt and lost and broken. It actually goes for anyone and everyone, anywhere that they're at. It's these five words. I notice and you matter. I notice and you matter. You may not have the right answer for every question. You may not have persuasive speech or maybe a world-rocking testimony. Maybe you don't have that, but you can notice people and let them know that they matter to you. Almost everyone responds to being considered. Amen? I know there's a lot of people at home right now that wish somebody would consider them. You're hurt and you're lost and you feel like you're all alone. Let me tell you, you matter. You're important and we love you. We can't wait to see you again. And when we're allowed, I can't wait to give you a hug. We love you and we miss you. You are super, super important. Please don't forget that. everyone responds to being considered. Your efforts may or may not lead to their eventual conversion of knowing Jesus, but at least it's helping open the door, a door that someone might walk through someday. You heard the verse, some plant, some water, God brings the harvest. You just keep waiting for that seed all the time, and you're holding some water, but yet God says, put down the water and plant the seed. Maybe you need to be the first one. Come on now. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25:23? The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together. Go down a few more verses. Jesus gives us a little more explanation of that day. Go down, we're still in Matthew 25. Go down to verse 37. We're going to read 38, 39, and 40. Okay, here it is in the NLT. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when do we ever see you go hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing, or when do we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me. See, on that glorious day when you meet Jesus face to face, the number one thing, the most important thing that you care about is where you stood with Jesus when you lived on earth. And then immediately right after that, the next most important thing that you're going to care about is how you touch the lives of other people for him. The cool thing about it is the bar is not set as high as you may think it is. For touching a life for Jesus. I pray today you quit making something that it is not. We need to see, a lot of times we get what the Bible says in our minds and hearts when the Bible never really says that. We're going to strip some things today and may God rebuild. See, it shouldn't be too hard to make someone else feel like they matter. The only time it's too hard, it's because you're thinking of yourself too much. Come on now. I'm preaching better than you, amen, in front row. I heard one thing. I heard some less. Okay, that counts. Awesome. Amen. Shouldn't be too hard to make someone feel like they matter. Jesus made it clear. It's not difficult at all to receive a reward on the last day. Matthew 10, verse 42. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Did you get that? A cup of cold water. Seriously? Yes, it counts. It is written. Jesus is asking all of us today this. What can I undo in your life so you can get beyond yourself so we can start reaching people together? Kingdom business is not as hard as we've made it in our heads. Here's three examples. Have you ever opened up a door for a guy in a wheelchair? That counts. Have you ever smiled at the grumpy lady next door, that yippy dog? That counts. Have you complimented your spouse lately or your children or your sister or brother or somebody that maybe you don't get along with? That counts. Every tiny gesture, every small compliment can have an eternal impact. Now, you maybe have read these stories before. I've read stories before where this kid, he's going, teenager. I read a lot of stories about teenagers and stuff when I was a youth pastor, and I remember reading stories about this teenager who's going to go home and he was going to kill himself because he was so depressed. And I remember as he's walking and he's depressed and he's headed home, somebody stops and just says, hey man, how you doing? Okay, right? And then they go to the room and they get to the room and then they think about that or they do what they were going to do. And they think, the entire time I was walking, I wanted to end my life because I thought I didn't matter. I wanted to end my life because I wasn't noticed. And someone stopped and just said, hello, how are you doing? And told me to have a nice day. Literally, there's stories that people did not end their life because of something that small. This is truth. See, a little compliment can be a big deal. But just like anything that's important in life, you must grow in it. The Bible teaches us that the worst person is not the one who's hot or cold, but one that is lukewarm, one that is stagnant. Don't be a stagnant Christian because they stink. Woo! Brother, you smell spiritually, right? Woo, right? And that's a slam, I don't know. You better be led in the Lord to say that. I want to encourage you to keep growing. See, I stand here today like most anyone, I say this. I need to grow in working hard to persuade others. I also need to grow in being more kind to people. I do. I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. This convicts my heart as well. I need to go to the next level in loving and impacting others for Jesus. See, we can't just stay in kindergarten kindness, saying just words, I notice and you matter, and then stopping there. We also have to evolve from being elementary school level of kindness as well. See, it's wonderful that you let other people go before you. That's great. And it's great that you share well with other people. That's wonderful. You do a really good job that when other people around you make an effort to put them first. Well done. But when they're out of sight, just like a grade school kid, they're out of your mind. Don't get stuck there, church. Let Jesus help you grow beyond that. There's the high school level of selflessness and kindness. And it doesn't come with pimples, praise God. High school level of selflessness and kindness is when people aren't with you, you think about them. You pray for them. You consider how you can be a blessing to them. But the collegiate level, that's a whole nother level. It's not only that you think about other people often when they aren't with you or you're not around them, but you often sacrifice your own well-being. You sacrifice your own comfort. You even give away your own stuff to help them. And there's no strings attached. These are the people that turn their families into orphanages because they just can't stop bringing kids into their homes that need someone. These are the people that move to Malaysia or Pakistan or Iraq to bring people into the kingdom of God. Of course, Rabbi or Professor Jesus, he gave us the ultimate example. He sacrificed his life for us, even while we were still his enemy. Romans 5, 7 and 8 says this, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his love for us that in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for another. So if reaching out to others begins with, I notice and you matter, then how do you go to the next step? How do you get beyond the kindergarten kindness to the upper levels? Now, what I'm about to tell you, church, comes with a giant warning. If you actually do what I'm about to tell you, every single day with your life, you will be different from this moment on. You cannot and won't go back. And if you try to go back, it's going to haunt you. So if you're not ready for that kind of commitment to Jesus or that kind of transformation in your life, I'm serious about this. Turn this off, right? Go watch another church. Go watch something else. Turn on ESPN, Hardwood Classics, right? There's some old school basketball on right now. Turn something else on. I'm serious. But if you're ready, get your notes out. Get your heart prepared. See, this is super simple, but it's going to change everything. This will radically change what happens to you on that day when you give an account to Jesus for how you worked hard to persuade others. See, this might or might not surprise you, but it will, I guarantee, transform you. And it's found in prayer. But this isn't one of those prayers that you say once and then never say it again and just kind of move on. This is actually becomes a new spiritual discipline in your life for you and for me. It has to become a part of our regular prayer life and our regular everyday activities. You must pray it every time you see someone in pain. You have to pray every time somebody comes to your mind. You have to pray every time you notice someone that you want to make sure that they know that you love them and that they matter to you. I promise you, if you honestly pray this prayer every single day about someone in your life, it'll be changed forever, and so will eternity. Are you ready for it? No? Nobody? One? Yeah? Okay. Are you ready to graduate? I find that very fitting. I really feel for all you seniors right now. High school and college, I'd feel for you for graduation. This has a whole nother level. This is a spiritual graduation. Here it is. It has two parts. Here's the first prayer. Lord, what do they need? Lord, what do they need? Second part is this. Lord, what should I do about that? Lord, what do they need, and what should I do about that? Let me show you how it can work. Let's say you have a friend who just lost a loved one. What do you normally do? If you're like lots of people, you say, I'm so sorry, how can I help? And what do they say? Just pray for us, brother. Just pray for us, sister. So you promise that you will, then you forget about it, and nothing really actually happens except for the next time that you meet them, it becomes very awkward. Now imagine this. After you find out that that person has a great loss in their life, and before you say anything to them, you pray, Lord, what do they need? Then the thought comes to your mind, it's dropped in your spirit. They need to know that they're not alone. Then you pray, what should I do about that? Not long after the prayer, you have this idea to take lunch to them, sit 6 feet apart, and allow them just to talk and listen. So when you call that person, don't just give the usual almost impossible answer to question to answer. How can I help? God gave me this morning when I was studying and praying. We oftentimes ask the people what they need before we ask the one that knows what they need beyond what those people even know what they need. See, we often ask the people, what do you need? But we know the Creator in heaven already knows everything that they need. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He already knows what they need. So ask Him. Cut out the middleman. So instead, you would say this. Hey, dude, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry that you lost so-and-so. I want to bring you lunch, and I just want to sit and listen so you can talk about it. What time would be good? When can I bring lunch to you? And just like that, you have graduated and allowed Jesus to undo you, and eternity forever is affected. These two prayers are so small but yet so big at the same time. What if this prayer was as much part of your everyday life as brushing your teeth or going to the bathroom? Think of how life, church, community, how it would change if we'd all make this a regular practice, a regular discipline in our life. There's no way you can do this for everyone, but you could do this for anyone. And every day, you should do this for someone. Lord, what do they need? Governmental employee needs more compassion. What should I do? Tell them that you notice and appreciate how hard they are working during this uncertain and difficult time. Lord, what do they need? Grocery clerk needs more encouragement. What should I do? Tell them that you notice and appreciate that they're working right now in this hard time. Get their name and tell them you're going to pray for their safety every single day this week. Go home and do it. And if nobody's in line, do it right there. What are you afraid of? Seriously. Lord, what does he need? As you drive by a homeless guy, dignity drops into your spirit. God, what do you want me to do about that? Turn around, pull over, go up to him, look him in the eye, tell him that he matters and that he's loved, and ask for his greatest need, and if you can, provide it, and then pray for him. See, there's no limit to this kind of prayer. You can even pray prayers like this. God, my daughter's struggling. What does she need? One day it comes to you. She needs to know that you're going to be there for her no matter what. Then you pray, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Then it comes, write her a handwritten letter, how much you love her. And tell her how much you're going to be there for her no matter what happens. Mail it to her and keep praying. Lord, what do they need? Lord, what should I do about that? This is an effective prayer, but it's also a dangerous one. If you thought living for Jesus was going to be easy, you haven't read the Bible. The danger with this prayer is that as things are revealed to your spirit, you better follow through. James 4:17. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Oof. Give me, Father, for the times that I have been selfish and not did what you asked me to do. Seriously, God, give me another chance. Jesus, will you help undo our selfishness so we can pray such a prayer and then we can follow through? Will you do that? See, I don't want this to just be a nice little sermon, right? There's a lot of nice little sermons right now because we realize that people are struggling. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Rise up. You can beat this. Why? Because somebody already did for you. His name's Jesus. Step into that faith. I believe God is undoing something so he can allow another thing in your life to begin. Studies show it takes 21 days to develop a new habit. 21 days. Studies also show it takes 66 days to make that behavior or that habit automatic. So I want to ask you something, everyone watching, anybody in here, I want to ask you something. Will you consider joining me this week in getting the ball rolling? First, do this. Find one person every day. It can be a different person every day. Find one person every day where your actions and your words say, I notice and you matter. Second thing is this. Then I want you to pray these prayers once a day as well for a person. Maybe it's the same person, maybe it's somebody else. Lord, what do they need? Lord, what do you want me to do about that? You've served Jesus for any length of time. You want to be a world changer, don't you? I want to be a world changer. Start with these simple, powerful prayers for one person. and the world will be changed. Let's pray. Father, undo us, God. Undo our selfishness. Undo our pride. Everybody listening, real quick, will you just put your hands in front of you right now and grip tightly? When I say it, I want you to do something. I know it might be physical, but I believe there's a spiritual application that's going to happen in your life, an impartation. Lord, everything we have gripped so tight, now open your hands. We release to you, Father. Sometimes life is hard, God. It's hard. People are battling. People are facing things, God. I know lots of people in my life that are really, really hurting. What should I do about that? Teach us, God, to follow your spirit. We release these things to you, God. Our finances, our things. Lord, I want us to all turn everything that is temporal into eternal. Turn our temporal things into eternal things by the power of Jesus right now. If you're struggling with something today, I believe there's going to be a brother or sister in Christ. Now, Holy Spirit, may you just reveal that to him right now. I pray for words of knowledge to drop upon spirits right now. Words of wisdom and what to do. And what words of knowledge and what they're facing now. And I pray for prophetic words to come forth, but people to provide. And it doesn't always have to be money, or it doesn't always have to be some sort of support, but maybe a listening ear or support and tell them that you love them and really, really pray for them. Father, undo us so your glory can reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. 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 Thank you for joining us this morning at First Open Bible. If you have a great need, please reach out to us. We will pray for you. We could put you on our prayer chain email. If you're at First Open Bible and you're not a part of the prayer chain email, we've asked multiple times, but we'll ask you again. Please give us your email address. We want to include you in that if you can pray. There's a confidentiality thing that we can put on there because of HIPAA laws. We don't want to go out and spread these things that you'll agree, but you'll keep it private and you'll put it in your prayer room and you'll see God through it. And those people will be victorious by your prayers and through the power of the Lord. We love you. And I look forward to seeing you again next week. I know I can't see you physically, but I know that you're there. And next week's Mother's Day, we have something special for you. So we love you. And I can't wait to worship again with you soon. This is bye for now.